When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Moving my head.
Yeah.
I'm laying it off.
Love that too.
I'm pronating.
When you're not supinating.
I'm clearing too early. I'm clearing too late. My God, my swing feels like an unfolding lawn chair. I look like a fool.
What the hell do you think you look like shooting them chili peppers up Lee Jansen's ass?
Well, we're waiting.
All right, golf fans, welcome back to another episode of Fairways and Dreams. It is Tuesday, which means it's time for the two-man scramble, and I continue to check off boxes of people that I've spoken to. PGA Tour caddy with Don Donatello's off, someone trying to become a professional with Ken Keller twice. Now I get to check off the author box on my to-do list as I welcome Marty Midian, who wrote the audiobook Trouble Off the Tee. Marty, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Jeff.
No problem. So I want to get this out of the way. For anyone that's listening to this that is like, whoa, an audiobook. So I listen to it for free. I have Spotify Premium and it's there and you can access it. Don't listen to this book around kids. Okay. So like put your ear. So what
Definitely
was the genesis?
No.
Before we talk about the book in and of itself, what was the genesis for the book? Like, so you had to have this, maybe it was a revelation that you're like, oh, I should write a book about this. What, tell me how that process got started.
All right. So out of college, in college, I studied journalism. So writing was always in my background, and I loved to do it. And then I had a decision to make out of college, take a job with the Akron Beacon Journal or go to law school. And the idea of living in my parents' basement versus going to law school, I chose that.
Yeah.
So I went to law school, became a lawyer, and I'm a criminal defense lawyer. But the urge and the desire to write always was kind of there.
Yeah.
So a while ago, I decided it was time, and I sat down and I started writing, you know, some courthouse type books. And I got through, you know, halfway into one, a third of the way into the other, and I was like, you know what? This has been done before. And it's been done by people that are far better than I am. You know,
right.
I don't think I'm competing with John Grisham. You know, let's put it that way. So I scrapped those. And then right around that time, my wife bought me a trip to Pebble Beach.
Oh,
and
nice.
Yeah, up until then, golf was kind of just a reason to drink 18 beers. You know,
okay.
So it was something that I did, but I wasn't really passionate about it. So before I took this trip to Pebble with my dad, I got some lessons and I was like, you know what? I have to tighten this game up a little bit. I can't embarrass
right.
myself out there. And I did. And I went out there and with my dad and had just the time of my life. It was amazing. You know, that place, if you've never been on property, it's just, I think it's heaven. But I came home obsessed with golf. And
okay.
it just, I couldn't play enough. I was taking lessons, started consuming as much golf as I could. And in reality, there really wasn't much to consume. I mean, how many times can you watch Tin Cup, Happy Gilmore? You know, you watch the Sunday coverage. But, you know, there really wasn't much out there, you know, in terms of golf entertainment. So, and right around that time, I realized, you know, I've seen a lot of things in life, being a criminal defense attorney. Like, I see people at their worst. I see, you know, really horrible decisions. I've seen terrible things that humans can do to others. I have a lot of perspective in life on those sort of matters, things that people aren't really aware of in the day-to-day life. And I realized, let's take the experiences that I've had in the courthouse defending people and marry it with the game of golf.
Yeah.
Let's create a character that it's more of an anti-hero. You know, most golf books that you've seen, they're kind of, you know, and not to take a dig on any of them, because some of them are great, but they're, I would say, overly romanticized, they're whimsical, and kind of predictable. This is dirty. It's raw. It's visceral. You know, Lincoln Ross, he is not a likable guy, but at the same time is incredibly real. You know, he makes mistakes that all humans do, that a lot of my clients have made.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So yeah, that was a long-winded answer.
No,
there,
but that's fine. That's fine. That's an honest answer. I appreciate it. Now let's backtrack a bit. I do have some more questions about the book and Lincoln Ross in particular, but let's backtrack. And you mentioned that in the game of golf, you grew up and you might've played, but you weren't in love with it. So what is your history with the game up until that trip to Pebble Beach, which I do want to hear about, by the way, but still, what was it like as a kid? You grew up in Ohio. I know that. So what was it like for you in the game of golf? What was your relationship like?
Well, I grew up playing baseball. So golf was not really on my radar. And then my dad started playing a little bit later in life. I don't think he started playing until he was about 45. And then when I finished law school, my first job, one of the other lawyers in the firm said, "Hey, we need to go out and play golf." And I said, "Golf? What's this all about? That's no fun." Went out there and I was like, "This is fun. let's keep playing this." So it was I was around 26 when I started playing golf, and even then I wasn't very good, and I didn't take the time though to practice. But I had fun being outside, and you know, being with my friends, and it was just, it opened up, you know, my eyes to this great sport. And then we had Tiger, like, oh my God, we have this amazing person to watch, do just amazing things. So it really, you know, I got into golf a little bit later in life, but it certainly wasn't too late.
It's never too late. I have family members who used to say, I'll golf when I retire. And I'm thinking, that is so ass backwards, but still, okay, that's fine. And they do golf now and they love it. And they say, what? I wish I would have played sooner. But how quickly did you pick up the game? You said you got lessons before you went to Pebble. Do you carry a handicap? What's your game look like now?
Oh gosh. You know, at one point last year I was down to an 11 and I think I'm back to a 14. Time lessons. You need more time to practice. Everyone needs more time to practice, but
it's a respectable number though.
Being a 14 is good for the tournaments.
It is.
Cause I'm getting some strokes, you know, and that's not all that bad. You know, I want to be a single digit, but boy, if I'm a single digit, I'm not going to be getting strokes. I'm going to be in a tougher flight. So, you know, I can flash a pan a little bit. I can bring some magic.
There you go.
Here and there.
Hey, everyone's got their own rhyme and reason to this twisted game of golf. And I like that. I like that a lot. Now, let's talk about your book. Correct me if I'm wrong. It's only found in audio right now. Is that factual?
No. Actually, you can get it on Amazon Kindle. Yeah, it's available on Kindle through Amazon.
Not anything you can physically hold in your hand, like a paperback or a hardback or anything.
No, not yet. You know, I'm kind of waiting to see what the response is. And if the response, we've only been out for a couple weeks right now, and the response is good. But a lot of people that are reaching out to me, they tell me they enjoy listening. And, you know, I had a guy message me yesterday. Told me he drove around his neighborhood for an extra half hour when he got home because he sure as hell knew he couldn't listen to it in his house with his kids around. But it's definitely, it's meant to be consumed, you know, on an audio sort it of platform, is. You know, and my narrator, he's a hell of a guy. I don't know if you're familiar with Jake and his podcast, The Country mm-hmm. Club Adjacent, yes. But he did an amazing job narrating, and I couldn't be happier than to have, you know, hooked up with him for this project.
So for those that don't know about the book, and maybe audiobooks aren't your thing, let me give you a little synopsis here as to the book in of itself. So first, they're very short chapters. So you can plow through several chapters in a 5 to 10 minute stint. And so if you only have a little bit of time, it is great to just digest it as you go. But like you just said in the story that someone told you, you might find yourself trying to create time to consume more of it. As for the content, think of it like a 50 Shades of Grey for a guy. Like that's kind of the
50 Shades of Golf, Jeff. 50 Shades of Golf.
Sure, if that's what you want to call it, that's fine. Yeah, but either way, it is very it's very specific in a lot of ways. It can be very NC-17 type, and mm-hmm. but it's very raw. It's very clear. It's very honest in terms of this character of Lincoln Ross, who is the main, like you said, the anti-hero, which is a great way to describe it. I want to ask you. Is there a real life example of Lincoln Ross when you were putting this character together and you were thinking about, obviously you pulled from your experience as a lawyer, but was there anyone in real life you're like, you know what? I bet if I were to somehow paint this picture of what this guy, this kid at the time, because you're learning about his life, that's the guy. Is there one of those? It's not you, is it?
No. he really is drawn upon all the experiences I've seen in the courthouse and a little bit of that, you know, everyone wants to see the story of Tiger Woods on the back nine at Augusta. Well, Lincoln Ross is the story of Tiger Woods on the strip at Vegas, you know, in his heyday. So that's the type of entertainment yes. that you're going to get with Lincoln. But no, he really was a culmination of a lot of the clients I've had over the last 17 years. People that are not necessarily bad people, but just have made some mistakes, some poor decisions that, you know, have too many vices in their life.
Yes. And you bring up Tiger on the strip in Vegas. That's a very good analogy. I was actually leaning towards Dustin Johnson because yes. I think DJ, maybe not so much now. I think he's mm-hmm. calmed down a little bit later in life. When you look at Paulina, when you hear the stories about partying, how he mysteriously falls down the steps at the Masters and can't play in the tournament that year. Like all this stuff. I'm like, I'm picturing that. That was just who came to my mind was DJ back in the day. So just to give you that, but it was really, I know it's just came out and the book is still very new, but is this something that you could see growing into a sequel or is this something you could growing into a different type of book? Do you have the desire to continue to write about golf or is this just a one-off?
Oh, no, absolutely. In fact, I've already started the sequel.
Oh, cool.
You know, and I don't want to give anything away for people that haven't listened, but it is a little bit of a cliffhanger. And okay. it definitely leaves room for round two, for Trouble Part Two, which I'm already playing with some names. I don't think it's going to be called Trouble Two. But once you get to the end of it, you'll see where it's going. Okay. But no, it's great. And I'll tell you something. When I was writing it, it never felt like work. It was so fun to get lost in this story and come up with different places for Lincoln to go, different trouble for him to get into, different lessons for him to learn. So it's not just a, you know, a 50 Shades type book. There's also a lot of life lessons sure. that I think, you know, young people sort of struggle with these days. You know, all of a sudden you leave college, which is a fantasy land for the most part, and then you're in the real world. Yeah. And then, you know, decisions that you make have consequences, but you got to learn from them, you know, and if you don't learn from your mistakes, you know, you're just going to keep doing them again and again.
I definitely found myself listening to the book, especially the early portions when he's in college and it's just life is just different. And I went back to my college experience being in a fraternity. I was the president of the chapter for 2 years and I was just like, man, life was so different then. Like you didn't have, like you said, you're not in the real world. Technically, you're still kind of in this little sheltered bubble where all you care about is certain things that maybe your parents don't want to know.
Yeah.
And my parents are listening to this.
we can fill in the blanks.
All right. Very good. Now I do want to bring up the fact that your website is not just the book. You also offer, you have a blog. You have, it's a very interactive website. You label it as, quote, the badass brand for golfers who play hard and want to look good doing it, because you have an apparel line. I really love the hats. I think they look really clean, great looking hats. I might be getting myself one, but also like cool hoodies and stuff as well. So what was the aspiration there as well? Were you just trying to maximize overall reach, or what made you want to get into the apparel game?
No, it's a fun story. So the book came first, actually. I finished writing the book, and then I was at Golf Galaxy with my friend Dan. And we were looking around for some new shirts, some new stuff. And we just didn't see anything we liked. It was all the same, like, you know, not to throw shade at Under Armour, but the same boring Under Armour shirt, you know. And we walked out of the store, and he looked at me and he said, you know, that book, that story should be the background for a brand. And we thought about it. We talked about it a bunch and realized no other brand has this sort of dynamic aspect with it. You know, a lot of brands have, you know, their newsletter, whatnot, but none of them have a story, you know, a person to get behind. You know, it's one thing to get a sponsor to have, you know, Ricky Fowler on your Puma website, but Lincoln Ross, that's a different type of spokesperson. You know, he's more, I'd say more relatable and more real to people as a fictional character than, you know, a professional golfer, because nobody can hit it like him. Nobody can hit it like those guys. That's not who we relate to. We relate to Lincoln Ross, you know, shanking one off the tee and then finding a way to drink, you know, 18 beers when he's done.
Yeah. I like the fact that your apparel not only looks good, but it's not unbelievably expensive. That's the one thing that caught my eye, is that you go to some of these websites, you have a million different apparel brands. If you look on Instagram or other areas like that, and they're trying to sell you a hooded sweatshirt for $85 to $90. And it's like, I'm sorry. I have five kids. I've got a mortgage. I can't spend $90. I'd rather spend that actually golfing than I would actually paying for a sweatshirt. So your stuff is very reasonably priced. I do appreciate that, by the way. So I think that's a tip of the cap to you, man. That's good stuff.
Thank you. Thank you. And it has been a challenge, you know, I'm developing product, because being a criminal defense lawyer didn't really teach me how to start an apparel company. So there were mistakes made along the way, but I've learned, like Lincoln, I've learned from a lot of them.
You live and you learn, man. That's it. That's it. Yep. Now, I know that I sent you my podcast prior to us going live today and recording. And so you probably have heard the rapid fire segment when I have a guest on, where I ask you a little bit about your golf game. These are questions that you can take your time on. Rapid fire just means it's going to be a succession of questions that are not necessarily pertaining to the prior question. So are you ready for your rapid fire segment?
I'm ready. Let's go.
All right. So if you have an option to, it's always the first question, by the way, ride or walk, what are you doing?
Am I with my son or am I with my buddies?
Let's say either or.
Okay. I'll ride.
Okay. So even with your son, you're not walking at all?
Well, with my son, I'm going to walk, because he's got to learn. He's competing. So I'm caddying for him a lot. So, yeah. And I do enjoy the long walks. They're great.
They are. You know, fantastic.
Get lost out there.
What's your take on music on the golf course?
I'm for it. It's gotta be gangster rap. You know, if, you know, we turn on that playlist, if it isn't Biggie or Tupac, the first song, I'm skipping. I need some of that to get me in my zone.
I'm starting to see the connection between your writing and your music now. I get it.
Yeah, there's some parallels.
There's just a few. All right. Who's your favorite PGA pro of all time?
Oh, geez. You know, the cop out is to say Tiger. Because he did so much for the game. But you know, I'm kind of an underdog kind of guy. You know, I like these guys that you don't expect. You know, I'm not gonna say I like Brian Harman a lot. I don't want to say he's my favorite, but you know what? He's a little guy that nobody gave a chance to, and he hits the ball clean and perfect. You know, I love Spieth's ability to get out of trouble, his creativity. And that's something that is just, it's incredible to watch. And I love Brooks, because he's just such a badass. You know, that guy, excuse my language, Jeff, but he doesn't give a fuck about anybody. And that's
Yeah.
That's just awesome.
And again, it's funny, as I listen to your book, I'm seeing all these parallels now between who you actually look at, Jordan Spieth's ability to get out of trouble. Anyways, I don't want to give away too much of the book. I want people to check it out. You're a golfer now, you claim to be, and what's in the bag? I'd love to know what clubs you're hitting.
So, last year I actually got fitted for a new driver, which was awesome. I went with my pro and we kind of did it blind. I did not want to know at all what I was hitting, because I didn't want that bias. Right. So we went through, obviously you knew which one was the TaylorMade, because it looks like a, 57 Chevy looking down at it. But I went through all of them, hit them all. And at the very end, he pulled up on the screen and showed me that my misses with the Mizuno were better than my misses with any other club. So I went with the club that I don't miss as badly with. So I got the Mizuno driver. Yeah. Happy with it. I got the TaylorMade Stealth Irons. I've got a Scotty Cameron Laguna putter, which may or may not be in the story as well. But there's a good backstory as to how that putter got to my bag, but I'm taking that one to the grave.
There you go. That's fine. I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. No, that's good stuff. What's your favorite golf ball to play? Do you have one?
Pro V1. I'm kind of boring on that one, especially if I find it. That's like a found Pro V1. That's like finding a 20. This is amazing.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned the Miz with your Mizuno driver were less egregious, we'll put it that way. If you have a miss, is it a slice or a hook?
Well, right now I'm fighting sort of this low left miss, but it's not a terrible miss. It's just going like 180 yards into the left rough. My miss used to be a big slice, but we corrected that.
A baseball player, that's very common, is to have that out to in. Yeah. Are you a right-handed golfer?
Uh-huh.
Okay. This is a tough question for a lot of people. I've openly stated on my podcast, I have never been a really big Tiger Woods fan. I, like you, root for the underdog. So when Tiger was dominating everything, I found myself saying, this is boring. I want someone else to win. And so that's why I've always kind of pulled for Phil more than anyone else. Mm-hmm. But do you think Tiger Woods will ever win a tournament on the tour again?
No.
Oh, love it.
No. I know a lot of people aren't going to like that. That's not a popular take. I think he's great for golf when he's competing. Yes. But I mean, he's been through the ringer. Like, that body can only take so much. I won't say that I won't be rooting, in the right situation. If it's Sunday at Augusta and he's in the hunt, oh my God, well, I'll be glued to the TV. But I don't think he's got any more in the tank.
He is good for the game. I will admit that. Even though I'm not a fan of golf or fan of Tiger Woods, I am a fan of golf. He's good for the game. What would you say is your biggest pet peeve in golf?
Slow play.
It's the common denominator.
The worst. My buddy Dan and I have this saying, three elements to a great round of golf: the course, the company, and the pace. If you're playing with some idiot, you can get away from him if he just, tagged up in your group. But slow play can just ruin it.
Put that on a t-shirt, man. That would be a great t-shirt.
I know, exactly. CPC, course, pace, and company.
There you go. All right. What's your favorite golf movie?
Tin Cup.
Love it. Yep. All right.
I mean, he's a lovable screw up. Roy McAvoy. That guy is trouble off the tee.
That in his own way, the unfinished symphony that is the swing of Roy McAvoy.
Yes.
The winds of West Texas. I want to ask you what your thoughts are. You dived into the apparel world in that realm. Mm-hmm. What's your thoughts on the apparel of golf now? Because it has shifted significantly in the last 5 years. You have now guys wearing joggers on the course. You have some dudes wearing what seem like 4-inch seam shorts. You have hooded sweatshirts and these really weird looking hats. And it's just different. I'm not saying it's bad. It's just different. Mm-hmm. What's your thoughts on where apparel is going in the game of golf?
Well, I think it's an extension of the popularity of the game that we're now enjoying. And it's giving people an avenue to be creative, to express themselves. It used to be the same black Nike, golf shirt, or if you were really cool, you'd wear a red one, but you better be good if you're going to do that. But no, I think it's great that, people can come up with new ideas and new ways to express themselves and show their passion for the game. And a lot of the stuff, you know, I will say I'm not a huge fan of joggers on the course. I think it kind of looks a little funny. You know, I think it's great. I think the more eyeballs, the more creativity, you know, the better for everybody. And that's kind of an extension of the story in that it's just something different. There really isn't anything like Trouble Off the Tee out there in the golf space. It just doesn't
No,
exist.
it does not.
It's certainly not, no.
But I'll say this. You said it best. I don't care if guys wear like these golf polos that are very vibrant and have a lot of colors. That's fine. People that untuck their shirt, whatever. You wear joggers, you better be good.
Better
If
be
you're
good.
wearing joggers on the golf course, you better have some game to back it up because
Yeah, and if your shirt needs a volume button, I think you better be good too, you know.
All right. So let's have a couple more here. What's your favorite team format in the game of golf? There's a lot of different avenues we could go here.
Ooh, team format. Alternate shot.
Oh, or as I grew up calling it, F your buddy.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, now this one is going to be interesting for you. If you're a baseball guy, so you know about baseball walk-up songs where you can pick the song that is playing as you walk up to the plate. If you could pick a song to walk up to the first tee that is blaring when they say on the first tee, Marty Midian, and cue the music, what is playing as your walk-up song?
Well, I'm going to stick to my Cleveland roots and go with The Pursuit of Happiness by Kid Cudi,
Okay.
because that's what we're all looking for out there on the course, is happiness and
There
in
you
life.
go. Now, the last question that I have to ask you is, why are the Cleveland Browns a cursed franchise?
Oh, God. Jeff, we don't have enough time to talk about this.
For those that
We
are seeing
don't.
this, I have a terrible towel hanging behind me because I also cover the Pittsburgh Steelers in the National Football League. And he knew this going into the interview. I know he's a Browns fan. If you don't know anything about football, Browns and Steeler fans don't mix. It's like oil and water. So, what's your thoughts on Cleveland this year?
Well, they start with Nick Chubb's knee and Deshaun Watson's shoulder. From there, you know, it could be great, could be terrible, could be a train wreck. So I don't know. I'm you know, spoken like a true Browns fan. Next year is always on the table. It's all hope springs eternal in Cleveland from the lake. It's hard. It's really hard. At least I have the Buckeyes in my backyard here in
That's
Columbus.
true.
So
That's true.
that's a team that usually performs and delivers with
Hey,
more consistency.
Justin Fields finally finds a good team to play for, so you should be
Oh,
happy about that.
God.
So there you go. Now, I will say this, a quick
God.
story. You know, I grew up in Wheeling, West Virginia, and we get a lot of people in Wheeling from Ohio that come down to play, especially the courses at Spiedel Golf Club, which is the courses I grew up playing. And I'll never forget, this was years ago. I'm golfing there with my dad, and it's packed. Like, the course is crowded. And we're waiting with another group on a tee box, and that's how crowded it is. And we ask, where are you from? And they're like, oh, we're up near Cleveland. We came down to, there's a dog track still in Wheeling. There's a casino, and they also were getting some golf in. And like, oh, so I said, are you a Browns fan? Like, yeah. Are you guys Steeler fans? Like, yeah. And on the par three we were waiting on, they turned around after they were finished, and we were waiting on the tee box, and they did the Money Manziel, and they were talking about how Johnny Manziel was going to be the savior of the organization. And I always remember that, and I always think, you know what? Never listen to Browns fans. That's my moral of the story.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you want a true snapshot as to who Lincoln Ross is, you might want to look at Johnny
Johnny
Manziel.
Manziel.
All the talent in the world and
Yep.
questionable decision making.
That is a great way of putting it. Great way of putting it. All right. I've taken up a lot of your time, Marty. I do appreciate it. I want to give you an opportunity to not just plug your book, any social media channels, website, all that good stuff. You can go and do that now.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate it. So to find the book, you can go to troubleoffthetee.com and click on the tab at the top that just says book. From there, you'll get the links as to where we're available. Right now, Spotify seems like the best option, especially and Jeff, you mentioned that free. Spotify Premium members get, I believe, what, 15 hours of audiobook free a
Yeah.
month in their membership. So that's great. I think audiobooks really are the future, especially in this age of Netflix, you know, binge watching and podcasts. It's easy to consume there. You can also find us on Instagram at Trouble Off the Tee. So any new followers, we appreciate that. Anyone who wants to talk to me about the book or their experiences getting into trouble, getting out of trouble, I'm here. I'm loving it. You know, and there's also there's a hat in our collection that's called the Lincoln Ross that was named after our protagonist and was the first item that that we produced. So I have a special attachment to that hat, and it goes with the book great.
There you go. All right, Marty, thank you very much for taking the time. I do appreciate it. For all the listeners out there, I'll be back on Thursday with another Fairways and Greens podcast. Take it easy.
Thanks a lot. Have a good one.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.